So I wanted to share with you guys today a word that's going to be appropriate for our young ones as well, and have a little fun with that. Now, for some of you, this may seem a little light, but I have been told that children like jokes. Is that true? No, you don't like jokes? Not corny jokes? You don't like corny jokes? Not bad jokes? Not dad jokes. Not bad jokes, indeed. Not bad jokes. But not dad jokes. I mean, come on. How can we not have dad jokes? We've got to have some. So anyway, I thought I would. Yeah, you guys are definitely sitting on top of each other. That's going to be uncomfortable. Eventually, it's going to be uncomfortable. Good. Look at that. How wonderful. Thank you guys for joining me. Okay, so I have a few to get us started. This is in relation to the topic of prayer. So I was doing a little reading online, searching for really funny things online. I couldn't find any of them. But I did find a few cute things that children say in prayer. Now, I know you guys are not like little kids anymore, but some of the little ones upstairs may have written things like this in their prayers also. I thought this was rather amusing. Here's some prayers from little kids. Dear God, thank you for the baby brother, but what I prayed for was a puppy. Dear God, it must be super hard to love all the people in the world, especially my brother. I don't know how you do it. Dear God, I want to be just like my daddy when I grow up, but without so much hair all over. I'm sorry. For those of you who can... Okay. Dear God, when my mom makes leftovers, do I have to pray for the food again? Okay, here's another one. Dear God, please bless us that we'll work hard at school and that dad will work hard at work and that mom will do whatever she does during the day. Sorry, Audrey. And here's the last one, cute prayers from kids. Listen to this. Dear God, please take care of my daddy, mommy, sister, brother, my puppy, and me. Oh, and please take care of yourself, God. Because if anything happens to you, we're going to be in a big mess. So I had a couple of other ones that I thought I'd save for a little bit later. And hopefully, if you guys behave yourselves, we'll add a joke or two later on just to keep it lively. Today, I want to talk about prayer. Does anybody here know anything about prayer? Have you ever prayed a prayer before in your life? Have you prayed a prayer, Luke, ever? Never prayed a prayer in your whole entire life. Have you prayed a prayer, Caleb? What kind of prayer have you? You prayed yesterday. That's amazing. What kind of prayer did you pray? For the food. You prayed over the food. That's a good prayer. How many of you guys agree it's good to pray before you eat your food? For two reasons, right? Number one, you're giving thanks to the Lord. Number two, you have no idea whether that food is going to be good or not, right? So you want to pray a blessing over it. Lord, please make this food good. Like when you pray over a hamburger. I mean, you know it's not good, but you're asking God to work miracles, right? If he can turn water into wine, he can turn a hamburger into something like kale. Maybe not. Maybe he should turn the kale into hamburgers. So prayer is something you've heard about, and no doubt you've participated on some level. Tian, have you ever prayed? Have you ever had a moment where you had to pray out loud in front of other people?
It's interesting, yeah.
You have? Okay, it's interesting. How does that make you feel when you pray in front of other people?
It depends on the time.
Okay, like if I asked you to stand up and pray right now in front of all these people, how would you feel about that? You wouldn't do it. Okay. Thanks for being honest. I appreciate that. I certainly appreciate that. Praying in front of other people can be intimidating. Agreed? Sometimes, especially if you're praying in front of a bunch of adults, and if you're praying in front of the pastor, it's even worse, right? Because then you feel like it's like a pop quiz, like you're being tested now. Am I going to quote enough scripture in the prayer? Am I going to say the right things? Do I pray to the Father or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit or to all three? Who do I pray to, right? All of these questions can run through your mind. And then, of course, you're thinking, which is pretty much what teenagers think all the time, but... I'm sorry. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Jordan. It's not actually true. I know. I'm just a joke at your expense. Sorry. But sometimes we don't know how to pray, and so we don't pray. Anybody ever been in a prayer meeting before? You ever gone to a prayer meeting?
No.
You've never been to a prayer meeting. Okay, we need to change that. So, but you know, I've been to a lot of prayer meetings in my life. How about you adults? Anybody ever been to a prayer meeting?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there anybody in this room who is older than teenage years who has never ever been to a prayer meeting before? Okay, look, so everybody's been to a prayer meeting at least once. And why is it so hard to go to prayer meetings regularly? Why do you think? Because they're boring. Thank you. That is, in fact, the answer. That is, in fact, the answer I was looking for, because prayer meetings are boring. I mean, listen, it's the kids who are going to tell us the honest truth about these things, right? Prayer meetings can be really boring. Has anybody ever been to a really exciting prayer meeting before? I mean, adults as well. I see a few hands going up. I went to a prayer meeting one time that was so exciting and so wonderful that 4 hours went by and I didn't even realize it. There were hundreds and hundreds of people at this prayer meeting and everybody praying fervently. And during the prayer meeting, many people just sort of rotated in and out. People came from their lunch breaks and some people stayed and did their homework there. It was at a place called Kansas City, and there they have the International House of Prayer. And that prayer meeting has been going on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for nearly 20 years. Uninterrupted prayer meeting, nonstop, around the clock for 20 years. It's pretty amazing. You'll have to do the math on that and figure out how many man hours are represented in that prayer. But here's the thing about that prayer. You would think, well, after praying the same old thing for 20 years, what's, you know, I mean, how can you keep that up? Well, it turns out you go there and it's electrifying. It's absolutely amazing to be in that prayer meeting. There's another prayer meeting we went to, a bunch of us, years ago. We went down to New York City. And it's just fun going to New York City anyway, but driving in the city is crazy and there's lots of people everywhere. And we went to go down to Brooklyn Tabernacle. Anybody ever heard of Brooklyn Tabernacle? And I had heard that the Brooklyn Tabernacle had the most exciting prayer meeting that was taking place pretty much anywhere in the world at the time. On a Tuesday night prayer, prayer meeting, prayer hour, they would have over 5,000 people show up just to pray. No sermon, no singing, no anything, just prayer. That's where we learned the whole prayer card thing, because people write their prayer requests in and they print them out on cards and give them to everybody as they come through the door to that prayer meeting. You get a card and you pray. It's amazing. Anyway, that prayer meeting was fantastic. I loved it, and it went by in a flash. Didn't even notice it. You know, it's amazing how prayer meetings can be boring or prayer meetings can be exciting. I wish all of our prayer meetings could be exciting all of the time. One of the reasons I think the prayer meetings are boring is because we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to say to God. We don't know if we're even talking to God. We say, okay, well, I'm talking right now, and I'm not sure who I'm talking to because I don't see anybody, and I'm not sure if God is talking back to me. About going back to the invisibility thing, there was another prayer from some kid who said, God, are you really invisible, or is that just a trick? I'll let God answer that one for himself, but praying to an invisible God is sometimes a difficult thing to get our head around. It's difficult to think that one through because we can't see him. It's hard to have a conversation because sometimes you feel a little silly. Did you ever have a prayer meeting, just you in your room talking to God and kind of felt silly about it? Like, who am I talking to? I used to have that feeling. And sometimes I was concerned that I was going a little loopy in the head, talking to an invisible God. I mean, we've heard of people who have invisible friends, right? Did you ever have an invisible friend? Did you? Anybody have a kangaroo as an invisible friend? No?
I had a fly named Freddy.
You had a fly named Freddy. That's very interesting stuff. Invisible friends. You know, this idea of talking to somebody that you can't see is something kids can actually get into a whole lot more than adults can, but there comes a moment in time when you realize that that doesn't really work so well amongst your friends. You can't really introduce your friends to your invisible friend or else they'll tease you. Well, God is invisible not because he's not real, but God is invisible because our eyes are not made to be able to see him. And that's the only reason we can't see him. It's not because he's not visible, he's just invisible to us. We don't have the right gear to be able to see him. And just to help you out with that real quick, can anybody actually see an atom right now? I've got one in my hand right here, right in the middle of my hand. Can you see it? There's an atom. An atom. It's like these little particles that everything in life is made up of, right? Atoms. Have they changed that in science? No, it's still... Okay. I don't know. I mean, science changes. You know what I'm saying? Maybe there's something smaller now. But anyway, it's like the smallest particle of anything. Can you see it?
I can see.
I've got molecules in my hand, too, which is like a whole bunch of atoms all together. Can you see them? Can you see them? No, you can't see them. You know why you can't see them? Because you don't have the right equipment. Now, if we got an electron microscope, could you see things? You could definitely see things. You could see atoms of certain elements and so forth. You could actually make out what they were and identify them, probably, if you were skilled enough to do that, if you had the right equipment. We just don't have the right equipment right now, but we will one day be equipped with the right equipment to be able to see God in all of his glory. Well, maybe not all of his glory, but we'll see just the amount that he's willing to show us. And I think at that day, you will be so glad that you learned how to pray now. Well, as it turns out, prayer is boring because we say the same things the same way over and over again every time we pray, right? When you pray over your food, what do you say?
Dear God,
thank you for this food. Blessed to our bodies. Amen. Okay, something like that. And you say the same thing every time. Do you think he gets tired of listening to that prayer? He doesn't? God doesn't get bored with your prayer? But do you get bored of praying that same prayer over? You do. We like innovation, don't we? I like this guy. He's great. He's a great example of a very keen learner. I like this. He answers my questions. As it turns out, our prayers can often be very boring to us. I don't think God is ever bored with our prayer if our prayer is offered in faith. But sometimes we're not sure of the right words. Sometimes we say the same words over and over till they don't mean anything to us anymore. And prayer becomes boring. Well, we would like to set you free from boring prayer. How many of you guys would like to be free from boring prayer? Anybody? Any adults? Yeah, me too. Me too. I don't know how to set us free from boring prayer meetings, because you may have to attend a few more of those in your life, whether it be, hopefully not ever here at Living Hope Family Church, but maybe sometimes when we get together with other people in different places, there may be boring prayer meetings. And I can't set you free from all of that, because we need to be faithful in praying with others, even if our prayer life is more energetic than theirs. God likes us to pray together with other people. But I'd like to set you free from boring prayer in your own heart. And part of the way to do that is to tell us a few stories. I was once a kid. It was a long time ago. I know, heart of a shock, I know. Isn't it mind-blown? I was once a kid, and I used to have these times of prayer with God. And God answered so many of my prayers in the most wonderful ways. Some of my prayers were answered immediately or near immediately, and some of my prayers took many, many years to answer. There was a time that I was praying that God would allow me to go to a conference. I was young, about 16 years old. 16? Yes. I was 16 years old. That's a little bit older than you guys on the front row. How old are you? 14. How old are you? 11. 16. There's a 16-year-old on the front row. And I wanted to go to a conference. Emma, I was 16. I was excited. I wanted to hear more about Jesus. And the person that was leading this conference was a very famous evangelist. At his evangelistic meetings, they would gather hundreds of thousands of people. Sometimes even millions of people would gather from all over Africa to come and listen to this man preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to go to his conference. It was a very special conference, and there were going to be 5,000 delegates at this conference. And I wanted to go. So I applied to go to the conference. I was 16 years old. I didn't have a job yet. I don't think I had a job. And I didn't have any money. And my parents were divorced when I was young. So I grew up just with a mom. And my mom didn't have a whole lot of money to spend on conferences. I mean, she was excited that I was excited about Jesus, but she didn't have a whole lot of money to spend on that. So she listened to me say, I really want to go to this conference. I read about it in a magazine, not too much different to this, with pictures of people gathered. And I said, I want to go to that conference and learn more about Jesus. And she said, well, if you really want to go to that, you'll have to pray, because I can't send you, but if God provides for you, I'll let you go. It turns out the conference was not in our country. It was actually in another country, so I'd have to cross a border with a passport on my own at 16 years of age. Imagine that. My mother was very brave, and she said, all right, well, let's pray. Maybe she wasn't so brave. Maybe she just thought God wouldn't answer my prayers. But she said, you pray and ask the Lord and see if he will answer you. So I prayed something like this. God, I'd really like to go to that conference. I don't know how to get there, but could you make a way for me? Lord, I need to send in this application to go to the conference, and if I get accepted, I need to pay a registration fee. And then I've got to get a bus ticket to get there, and then I need a place to stay. But if you could organize all of that for me, I'll do my part. I'll do the possible part, and could you do the impossible part? In Jesus' name, amen. And so I prayed. Well, as it turns out, there was a certain deadline, a date when I had to pay that registration fee. And as the date got closer and closer, and I looked at my little piggy bank with no money in it and checked the mailbox every week, every day, every hour to see if there was a letter in there with some unexpected money from somebody, I got a little less and less confident and a little more and more anxious. As the time draws close for us to meet those needs, and the needs can't be met with what we've got in our pocket, it can make us a little anxious. On the day that I was supposed to register for the conference, I was having to come to grips with the idea that God might answer my prayer by saying no. And that was a little difficult. Did you know that God can answer your prayer any way he likes? Because he's God, right? So if you ask God for something, and you keep asking God for that thing, God could answer, and he could give it to you. Or he could say, my answer is no. You can continue to ask, but my answer is still going to be no. And so I had to get used to that idea, and I had to settle my heart that maybe God was answering no. But how many of you know that the answer isn't no until the deadline's already come and gone? I mean, if there's still an opportunity, if I can still get that money in, the answer could still be yes. And the truth is, if the deadline for paying the money has come and gone, there's still a bus that's going to be leaving. And if I'm able to get on the bus, then there's still time, right? I mean, the deadline is not quite passed yet. There's a deadline that I think, and then there's an actual, you got to be on the bus. If you're not on the bus, then it's over. Or maybe that's not quite the deadline either, because maybe the bus isn't the only way to get there. Maybe God still wants me at the conference, and maybe there's a way I can get on an airplane and get there instead of getting on a bus. Or maybe there's somebody else who'll take me and drive me all that way by themselves. Maybe there's still a way. But until the conference begins, maybe that's when the deadline is, right? So as it turns out, I would have these times of prayer where I'd say, Lord, deadline's coming, deadline's looming. And I don't have anything yet, but I'm still going to ask, please, may I go to the conference? Well, as it turns out, the hour that the money was needed to pay the registration fee, my mother got a phone call. And I don't know who it was. I think it may have been one of the elders in our church who knew that I was praying about going to this conference. And I don't know what they said to my mom, but somehow the money arrived just in time. And so my mother had to start praying prayers, because now she had to release me with my passport to get on a bus and go to some other country to go to this conference. And she was now going to have be the one with anxiety. Well, as it turns out, God provided for me to be able to go to that conference. I got on the bus. I had my registration fee, and I had some meal tickets for the conference itself. And I had arranged a place to stay, not at a hotel, but with a friend who, it turns out, lived in that place. And I got on the bus and went. But here's what we didn't think about. We didn't think that the bus ride was going to take about 30 hours, and that on those 30 hours, I had nothing with me to eat. And so I went that whole way, across the border to the far away country with nothing in my belly, except faith and excitement and those butterflies gnawing away at whatever was inside. And we arrived, and I got off the bus, and I went to the registration desk, and I registered for the conference, and I was starving. And on the bus, on the way there, I had thought about some food that I really like to eat. And the thought that I had in my mind was a really juicy steak. I was 16. Steak was good. And steak is still good after all these years. So I prayed and asked God, Lord, I'm hungry. Could you provide something for me to eat? Well, as it turns out, I went and stood at the registration counter, and I registered. And I was the youngest registrant for that conference. And as I was standing there, and they were asking, well, where are your parents? And I said, no, I'm registered. Just me, just my name. Check it out. I'm here by myself. Some American pastors overheard my conversation. And they were so stirred by the fact that I had this courage and faith to get on a bus and come from another country to go to this conference all by myself, that they decided they wanted to take me out for dinner. So they took me, they invited me, they said, well, Eric, we're so excited to meet you, and we're excited by your story. We'd like to ask you a few questions about that. Would you join us here at the hotel restaurant, right here by the registration desk? We'd like to buy your dinner. And so we went into that restaurant, and they ordered me the biggest steak on the menu. Isn't that wonderful? There are prayers that God has answered for me that he answered so fast, so quickly, so perfectly, and in such miraculous ways that I know it can't be anybody else who answered those prayers except God. You know what makes a prayer meeting not boring? The knowledge that God answers prayers. That's what makes a prayer meeting not boring. Knowing that God actually answers our prayers. Now, he doesn't answer all of our prayers right away. I also prayed a prayer when I was young, and when I was about your age, which is, let's see, Luke, how old are you?
Nine.
You're 9 years old. I must have been about 9 years old when I prayed these prayers. Because my family was split, my dad and my mom didn't live together. My dad lived here in America, and I lived with my mom in Africa, a very long way. And we, back in those days, we didn't have like cell phones and stuff. Can you imagine a world without cell phones? What? I mean, there was no Skype or WhatsApp or any of that. It was just, you know. In fact, the phone that we had in our town had a little crank handle. You had to crank the phone and then speak to the operator. It's a true story. Anyway, I used to pray prayers. God, would you put my family back together again? I want to know my dad. I want a dad so bad. And I was probably 8 or 9 years old when I used to dream of my dad showing up at the train station and the smoke clearing and my dad standing there with suitcases. And I imagined that for many years as a young child. Well, as it turns out, God never answered that prayer by having my dad show up on the platform at the train station. But now that I'm nearly 50 years old, nearly, I'm not quite 50, so I haven't quite got to the top of the hill, unlike Uncle Charlie, who's already on Social Security over there. Or asking God for Social Security, that's what it's... It's a prayer, okay. Uncle Charlie celebrated his 50th birthday twice. You should ask him about that. It's an interesting story. Anyway, I know I was there for the party both times. That prayer that I prayed, asking God to put my family back together again, he actually answered about 2 years ago when I was 48 and my mother came and spent Christmas time here. And it was the first time in all the years that I can remember that my mother, my father, my brother, and myself were all together in the same room. And we celebrated Christmas together. And not only did we celebrate Christmas together, but my dad prayed at the table, thanking God for the food. And he didn't just pray, God bless this food in Jesus' name. He prayed a long, heartfelt, deep prayer that made us all cry because he thanked God for bringing his family back together again in the name of Jesus. Well, it took 40 years for that prayer to be answered. 40 years. But God still answered my prayer. What makes prayer not boring? Knowing that God answers prayer. And trusting God, like Uncle Charlie showed with Luke earlier today, that God will catch you when he needs to catch you. We offer our prayers to the Lord, and God answers those prayers in the best possible timing. And if we can trust him with that, then prayer won't be boring and it also won't be disappointing. Did you ever pray and ask God for something and he didn't give it to you or he gave you something else instead? It's like when you open up a Christmas present and somebody's so excited to give it to you and it's like, I don't know, like a pair of slippers or a tie. I mean, wouldn't you love to open up a Christmas present and it's a tie? I mean, can't you see that, Peter? Somebody giving you a tie?
I mean, I could see it, I just wouldn't like it.
You just wouldn't like it. Thank you for being so honest. Note to self, never give Peter a tie for Christmas. Sometimes we ask God for things and then he gives us something it's not really what we asked for, and that's disappointing. And sometimes we ask God for stuff and it seems like he just doesn't hear us at all, and that can be disappointing too, because we feel like God's not listening, right? Can I tell you that prayer is not boring when we learn to trust in the Lord and trust that his timing is good with everything. Okay, it's about time for a joke. Okay, time for a joke. Here we go. Thanks for listening to that other part. Are you ready for this? Okay, so a teacher asked the children in her Sunday school class, if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and gave all the money to the church, would I get to heaven? If you do good things, well, as it turns out, the children all answered the correct answer. No. If I cleaned the church every day, mowed the yard, kept everything neat and tidy, would I get into heaven? Again, the answer was no. Well, she continued, then how do I get to heaven? In the back of the room, a 5-year-old shouted out, "You gotta be dead." Okay, so back to prayer. Here, you drop this. So I want to give you guys a couple of really easy tools that will help you to pray when you're praying, because sometimes we don't know what to talk about. There are times when I go for a long drive in the car with my wife, and we'll sit in the car driving for hours, and I'm just driving, staring at the road, and we'll get to our destination, and hours have gone by, and I haven't said a word. I mean, I'm sure that's extremely boring for her to sit there in the car the whole time. In fact, sometimes she tells me about it. It used to be in days gone by that she would get upset and take it personally and cry. And I would get to the destination thinking, why is my wife crying? And then she would tell me it's because we drove that whole way and I never said anything to her, never initiated any conversation, just sat there. And I thought, I was driving. I didn't know I was supposed to be talking as well. I mean, that's like walking and chewing gum. That's, you know, takes skill to do that, right? So anyway, it turns out you can be in the same room as your best friend for hours at a time. Just sit there and stare at each other, smile, be in each other's company without saying any words at all. And that doesn't always mean it's a bad thing. Sometimes it's wonderful to be at peace in somebody else's company and not feel like, now I have to say something, otherwise this is going to get weird. Yeah? Agreed? How many of you guys like alone time with your spouse or with a special person and you enjoy just being together, staring at a sunset or looking, you know, while you're fishing or something? All the guys are like, yeah! The girls are like, uh-uh. Come on, fellas, you got to open up. You got to spill those emotions. Share that stuff with us, right? Well, I'm happy to tell you that God is not like men and God is not like women in this. God is God, and he doesn't need us to say anything. He invites us to talk to him. And more than that, God invites us not just to talk to him, but to listen. God actually invites us to listen to him because God speaks to us too. What? The invisible God can speak to us? Yes, he can. Now, I don't think God's going to speak to you with an audible voice. That's probably not going to happen. If it does, it's rare. I mean, it has happened even in the Bible. We heard the voice of God when he spoke over Jesus, and other times when the Lord spoke to Moses and so forth. But there are mostly God is going to speak to us through what we call just the inner being. He'll speak to us through our sort of our heart, perhaps, maybe just that sense, that feeling. Like he speaks using the same kind of voices you've come to know as the voice of your conscience. God speaks to us like that. But God also speaks to us more dramatically through his word. And his word is a wonderful way to hear God's voice. God can speak through his word because you're studying it and you discover things in there that just are profound. And God can speak to you from his word just because you happen to be in a certain place at a certain time. You open up the scripture and boom, that verse speaks right to you as a confirmation of what God is saying. Sometimes God can speak correction to you through his word. The word of God is the place we go to hear his voice. And then God speaks to us in church as well. And God speaks through other people and the encouraging words that they can bring. But God wants us to be listening as well as speaking in his presence. When we speak to God in his presence, there are different ways that we can speak to him. There are different things to talk about. And sometimes prayer meetings get boring because we don't know how to talk to God. how am I supposed to pray? Are there special things I'm supposed to say? So let me try and make it easy for you. And here's a couple of things that can help you understand. Did you know that there are different ways that we speak to each other? For example, right now I'm speaking to a room full of people. So I'm speaking in a way that I probably wouldn't speak to you if we were having a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or maybe a soda or an ice cream or something or milkshake or something delicious like that. If it was just you and me sitting down, I might speak to you a little differently. But here I'm addressing a crowd. Now, this is kind of family, so I'm being very casual. But have you ever seen me speak to a large crowd of people before? Some of you have. And have you seen me get dressed up in a suit and put on a special tie and stand in front of a large group of people? I'm a little bit more formal when I'm addressing people in a big crowd, and depending on who's there. If it's just my friends, I'll address them like here today, my friends and family here at church. I'll address them a little more casually. And if it's my family at home, I'll probably be a lot more relaxed. I mean, I might even burp a little bit just for fun. But don't do that at the dinner table because that's rude, right? Gotta make sure I don't step on any toes over here. But you might find me being a little more casual, maybe making a few jokes or being a little silly from time to time. And I probably wouldn't be like that in front of a big crowd of people. And then one-on-one, when I'm with an individual, I can be a lot more relaxed and a lot more fun. Well, as it turns out, there are different ways that we speak to God. Sometimes we're speaking to God in a crowd of people, like a big prayer meeting, and we're speaking a little bit more carefully about, we're choosing our words because we want other people to be able to agree with our words. So, for example, if I was going to give a prayer right now, something to do with everybody getting fidgety on the front row, I'd pray like this. Pray with me. Dear Lord, thank you for your grace. I ask that you'd help all of our young hearts not to get too fidgety right now, but to stay listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, so I say that a little bit more casually, but I could be a little more formal, like this. Almighty God, creator of the universe, maker of the stars, we entreat you today, by your sovereign grace, let your gravity be impressed upon these young hearts. I mean, I could be a little more formal, right? I could. And there's nothing wrong with that kind of a prayer. In fact, sometimes it depends on where we're at. Our prayers need to be a little more tailored for the environment. Because when we pray, we're praying not just to God, but sometimes we're praying in the hearing of others, and those others need to agree with our prayer or maybe even be taught a few things in our prayer. Jesus, on one of the occasions when he was praying outside of Lazarus's tomb, he prayed and he said, Lord, you know, I'm saying these things not so much for you and me, but I'm saying them that those listening might believe. And so he was using prayer as an opportunity even to teach. Imagine that. Well, I wanted to share with you a couple of things, ways that we can talk to God that might make it easier for you. When you're in a big crowd of people, probably you want to be a little more careful about the words. When you're at the dinner table with just your family, it's probably okay to be a little more casual. And when you're on your own with God, you can speak honestly from your heart and say pretty much anything you want, as long as you remember who it is that you're talking to. And so there are different kinds of prayer. There are prayers of confession, saying, I'm sorry. Have you ever had to say, I'm sorry before? How about you, Caleb? Have you ever had to say, I'm sorry to somebody, like that you did something wrong? Is it easy to say, I'm sorry? It is? How about you? Do you think it's easy to say, I'm sorry? Wow, you guys are amazing. How about you? Do you think it's easy to say, I'm sorry?
It can be difficult.
It's one of the hardest things for me ever to say. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. One of the things you can pray for me about is that Eric will be quick to say, I'm sorry, when he knows he's wrong. See, I like to justify myself. I like to appear to be in charge and have it all together and to have thought through everything, and I know exactly why I made that decision and it wasn't wrong. But coming to the place where I have to say I'm sorry means I have to humble my heart. And humbling the heart is a difficult thing to do. Well, as it turns out, it's one of the most beautiful gifts that God has ever given us. Can you say beautiful gift? Go ahead, just say it. One of the most beautiful gifts that God has ever given us is the ability to say I'm sorry. Have you ever tried to say I'm sorry to somebody who doesn't want to hear it? That's hard, isn't it? To know that you were wrong and to try and make amends and to do the right thing to somebody who shuts the door in your face and says, I don't ever want to see you again, get out of my face.
It's hard.
God has every right to say, I never want to hear from you. I don't want to ever hear your I'm sorry because I don't believe you are sorry. God could say, show me that you're sorry by the work that you do. God could say all those kinds of things, and he would be justified in doing that. But instead, what God has chosen to do is to give us an open door to say we're sorry to God anytime. And do you know why we can do that? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus died on that cross to take the wrath of God upon himself. And when he rose from the grave, he rose with this power to give to us that we could come into the presence of God and say, God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Prayers of confession are really important. I would say that we should become experts at prayers of confession. For example, if you've been lying about something, now I'm not going to ask if any of you have ever lied, because if you said you haven't, you'd be lying, so that'd make you a liar right now. But if you've lied about something, to be able to go to God and say, God, I lied, please forgive me, I'm sorry, help me to tell the truth, even if it means that there are consequences. That prayer is an important prayer to learn how to pray. If you've been coveting something and you've gotten angry at somebody because they've got something that you don't have, and you're just upset because you don't have the same privileges that they do, you don't go on the same cool vacations that they do, you don't have the same car that they do, or you don't go to the same cool school that they go to, or you can't play football like they play football, or you don't have the same video games that they do, and you get angry and upset, and you covet all the things that they have. You know, the Bible calls that a sin. In fact, it's one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. And yet we do. And God invites us to bring that heart before him and say, God, I'm so sorry. I do want what everybody else has got. And I am upset because my life is not as full as theirs appeared to be. And I'm so sorry, Lord. Please help me to be content with what I have. I want to learn how to talk to you about those things. Talking to God about those sins of our lives is one of the biggest and most important ways that we can pray. Now, talking about sin is not the only way we can talk to God. In fact, if it was the only thing we ever did was come to God and say, I'm sorry, I think our prayers would eventually become a bit boring too. God invites us to pray other kinds of prayers, like thanksgiving, like giving thanks for stuff. Did anybody have a decent breakfast this morning? I had a great breakfast. I made myself a breakfast sandwich. And then I came to church, and they had breakfast upstairs. It was delicious. What? So cool. Like two breakfasts in the same day. Isn't that great? I mean, you know, if the only time I ever pray is to give thanks for my food, I must pray at least 18 times a day. Giving thanks is a really important thing. Thanking God for our clothing. I'm so grateful for this very nice white shirt. Do you like my white shirt? Tell the truth. Yes? No? I haven't spilled it. Well, actually, if you look really close, I think some of my breakfast is right there. But don't tell my wife. I'm so thankful for wonderful clothing. I'm so thankful for a warm bed at night and a beautiful place to be. There's some of my friends right now, and we could probably keep the Daniels family in your prayer, because right now they don't have a place to live, and they're part of our church, and they have two teenage daughters, and we just want to pray for them that the Lord will provide with the place they need to be. But in this time of testing and trial, that they would endure, and that the Lord would open up the right doors at the right time for them, but that they would learn what they need to learn through this, most especially how to trust the Lord, even in difficult situations. Nevertheless, let our prayers be towards them. And let us also thank God for the blessings he has given to us. So there's prayers of thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for my mom and my dad. Thank you, Lord, for the school I get to go to, and all these sorts of things. Giving thanks to the Lord for the little things, super, super important. There are also prayers of worship, and I invite you to always be worshiping the Lord. Prayers that just say, God, I love you. I adore you. We sang a beautiful song this morning about adoring the Lord. Oh, I was just losing it over in the corner. You probably shouldn't look at me when you're worshiping. You should be looking at the Lord. But if you happened to glance over and saw me there, I was losing it. I was so excited singing those words. Lord, I adore you. Got my hands raised, got my eyes closed, and I'm singing away. I love to pray those prayers of adoration and worship to the Lord. God loves to hear them. And for each of you as well, those prayers of worship are super important. There are also requests. This is where we get to ask God for stuff. And when we get to ask God for stuff, sometimes we don't know how to ask. And the Bible tells us sometimes we don't get what we ask for because we're asking for the wrong reasons. We're asking just to satisfy our own pleasures. And sometimes we don't get what we're asking for because we ask amiss. We're asking for the wrong thing. And God's like, no, I know you're asking for that super sharp, amazing knife, but I know that you're going to cut your hand off with that thing. So no, you can't have it, right? Yeah. Talking about hands, I learned this little thing about prayer that you can use your hand to help you pray. Did you know that? You can put them together. That's right, you could. But actually, you can use your hand because you can use it as like a sermon illustration. Anybody want to learn a quick sermon illustration from a hand? Okay, this is it, and we're going to wrap up with this. We've got just a few seconds, so listen carefully. How many fingers and digits do I have on this hand? There are five, right? Four fingers and a thumb. Okay, so we're going to use these things to teach us a few lessons about prayer. Now, just in case you need a reminder, the one that's closest to you is your thumb, right? It's closest to me. It's my thumb. And so you can use your thumb to remind you to pray for those that are close to you, like your family members, right? You can pray for your mom, pray for your dad, pray for brothers and sisters. You can pray for uncles and aunties and people that you love and people that are close, right? Okay, is that good? You can use the closest one to pray for those who are close. The next one is called the pointing finger, right? So when you point at, pray for those who point you in the right direction, okay? So like your teachers or your pastor. That's right, you can actually pray for me, that's true. And teachers in your life and people that speak the truth and they're not afraid to speak the truth, even if it means it's expensive, pray for those who point the way to Jesus, right? So that's the pointing finger. Now, the next one, if you look at your hand, well, look at my hand. The next one is that tall finger in the middle, right? Okay? It's the tallest. Just hold your hand up. Let's take a quick look. Does your middle finger is also the tallest? Everybody's got? Most everybody? I mean, some people know, but that's rare. For most everybody, the middle finger is the tallest finger, and that's going to be the leader, right? So you want to pray for your leaders. Use that finger to remind you to pray for your leaders, the ones that stand above, that are taller than everybody else. So pray for your president, the president of the United States, and all the people that work in his cabinet, right? And then you also want to pray for your political leaders and for your local leaders and pray for the policemen and pray for people who protect you and leaders in your community, right? So that's a good way to pray, all right? Yeah? Okay, the next finger that'll help you to pray is actually, it's your ring finger, and it's also the weakest finger on your hand, scientifically proven to be the weakest finger. Now, your hands are pretty strong, and your fingers are pretty strong, but of all the fingers, that one's the weakest. Isn't that? Yeah, that's right. And so what you can do when you think about that is remember to pray for those who are weaker than you. Pray for those who are in need. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for those who are in a season of weakness. Not everybody's weak forever. Some people are weak just for a moment in time, and some people are strong only for a moment in time and then get weak as well. So pray for those who are struggling with sin. Pray for those who are struggling financially. Pray for those who are weak, and that's a good one. Then the final one is the smallest one of all, and guess what that represents? Yeah, that represents you. That's correct. Okay, just go ahead and put your hand over your heart and say, I'm allowed to pray for me. I'm allowed to pray for me. Go ahead and say it. Yep. I'm allowed to pray for me. It is true. And that's a little finger to remind you to pray for yourself as well. But remember that it's the smallest one, so remember humility when you pray. Remember when you pray regarding your own personal needs that you should consider others first before you pray for yourself. And that's a good thing to remember. So you can use your hand as a tool to remind you how to pray and how to ask and make requests before God. And then there are those beautiful conversations that you can have with God that you just need to remember. God loves to hear you talk about anything and about anybody, about anything at all. I used to talk, when I was a teenager, I used to talk to God a lot about girlfriends. It's true, I did. In fact, every conversation with the Lord revolved around a girlfriend. Boy, did I ever pray that God would answer those prayers, and I'm really glad he didn't. Facebook is an interesting thing, you know. You get to see all those people that you once thought maybe that would be the one that I prayed and fasted over, God. I'm so glad God didn't listen to that prayer. Yeah. I am grateful that God hears us when we pray, even if we pray immature prayers. He loves to hear us when we pray. And I encourage you to pray. So I have a little gift for you guys. Are you okay with that? And then I'm going to wrap it up with that. It's not for everybody, but it's a little gift for these guys. Are you guys cool with that? It's a little book, and I want you to take it because... some of you are too old for this, but This little book is kind of, it's just a little book on prayer. It's a little book about conversations, and what you can do with it is you can share it. If you have younger brothers and sisters, you can share it with them, or if you have friends at school who are younger than you, you can share it with them. These little books are just conversations with God about saying I'm sorry to God about different things. So this one is, God, I need to talk to you about laziness. How many? Who would like to talk to God about laziness? Anybody? All right, you. God, I need to talk to you about talking back. Does anybody have trouble with talking back? That one's for you, Betty. Okay. God, I need to talk to you about sharing. Who has trouble with sharing? God, I need to talk to you about video games. Anybody have trouble with video games? Yeah, yeah, that one's for you. God, I need to talk to you about my bad temper. Does anybody have trouble with their bad temper? Right there for you. All right. Okay. God, I need to talk to you about being a bad sport. Does anybody have trouble being a bad sport? No? Yeah? Oh, you want me to? Just one at a double. Okay. Well, it is your birthday next week, so you can have that one too, okay? God, I need to talk to you about bad manners. Anybody want that one? No, it's Caleb's going to. That's for you. She said she's going to give it to her dad. Okay. God, I need to talk to you about bullying. Does anybody need that one? God, I need to talk to you about bullying. No. Okay, how about this one? God, I need to talk to you about paying attention. How about this one? This one's supposed to be you. These are things you can learn to share with other people in your life. And okay, here's one. God, I need to talk to you about whining. Anybody have trouble with whining? No? No? Yes, did I? No? No? Okay, this one's for you, bro. God, I need to talk to you about homework. This one's for you. Mm-hmm. Did everybody get one? Luke didn't get one yet, did he? This one says, God, I need to talk to you about my parents. Okay. Did everybody get one over here? Yes? Yeah? No? Okay. All right. This one says, God, I need to talk to you about feeling sad. I'm going to give that to you. Oh, one for you back there. Okay. God, I need to talk to you about school. There we go. That one's for you, buddy. That one is for you. Okay. Who else? Who's missing? Sean. God, I need to talk to you about bedtime.
That is so
perfect. Prophetic? That's right on, eh? Okay, I've got Gabriel and Michael back here. I'm just going to give you guys these ones. Now, these don't mean that you have a problem with these, but they're good for learning, and you can just give one to your brother, okay? These are, and who? Oh, Caleb Link over there. All right, Caleb. Caleb, God, I need to talk to you about bullying. I can just see this one is right on for you, buddy. You can share it with your younger siblings if you need to. Okay. Kurt's back there. Okay, Kurt, here's one for you. And Stephen's back there too? Okay. You know, Kurt, there's one here. It says, God, I need to talk to you about healthy eating. I feel like you already know how to do this, buddy, but this one's for you. This one's, you can share this with others as well. Okay, here's that one for you. And we've got a few kids in the back here. Okay, all right. Let's see. Imagine that. And Karen is back there. Okay. I'm going to hand these out to the guys afterwards. We need to get sorted. I've got a few for you guys in the foyer. We'll give these out to you on the way out the door. It's time for us to go. But thank you so much. Whoa. God, I need to talk to you about getting up while the pastor's speaking. I'm just kidding. We can talk to God about anything, but it's especially important to talk to the Lord about the things that trouble our hearts and that trouble His heart. God is a problem solver. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
He's a problem solver. He's not the problem maker. We're responsible for that. And then there's always the devil, right? But God is a problem solver. And I invite you to talk to him as the problem solver. Because God wants to set you free. Some of you here today don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. And I want to take a moment just to invite you to put your faith and your trust in him. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? Well, it means that you stop trying to save yourself by being a good person. Realize that you can't ever be good enough to deserve God's grace. Confess your sin before God and say, God, please forgive me. And believe in Jesus Christ, whom God sent, the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And as you put your faith and trust in him, watch and see if God doesn't just fill your heart with overwhelming joy and fill you with his Holy Spirit and give you a reason to get up in the morning and help you to overcome that grief and that sorrow and that self-loathing that's been your constant companion all these years. Come. Come to the altar. Confess your sin. And make Jesus Christ your Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need you. And Lord, prayer is the way that you've given for us to know you. Right now, we want to start with the most important prayer. The prayer confessing Jesus Christ as Lord. So move by your Holy Spirit in this congregation today. As we all have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, is there anybody here who'd like to make today the first day of talking to Jesus as a believer? Is there anybody here who'd like to say to Jesus, yes, be Lord of my life. I'm sorry for my sin. Forgive me and make me new. If you're here and you'd like to do that, just raise your hand and we'll pray a prayer with you right now. Give your heart to Jesus and be what the Bible calls born again. Start fresh, start new, start forever today. Is there anybody who'd like to put their faith in Jesus Christ for the first time? Well, I don't see any hands. There may be those listening. I encourage you to pray the simple prayer with me. Heavenly Father, please forgive my sin. I have sinned against you and you alone. I cannot save myself. But you sent your Son Jesus to save me. I believe. Please forgive me and make me new as I make Jesus Christ Lord of my life for today and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, I invite you to let us know, pastor@livinghopefamilychurch.com. Just send a little email to let us know so we can pray with you and maybe meet with you or maybe send you a Bible or a book to help you on your journey and connect you with some Christians around you who can help you learn and grow. The rest of you, may the grace of the Lord be upon you today and all throughout this week. I encourage you, share your faith with strangers. Talk to other people about Jesus. Open up your mouth and let God fill it with words of faith. Pray for those who are sick, cast out devils, walk in the power of Jesus, worthy of God's calling, and honor the Lord. And we'll see you together next week. May the grace of the Lord, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the love of God be with you now and forever. In Jesus' name, amen.